Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio and with my special guest, Minister Harold Copeland. And we are going to continue in our wonderful series, Under the Umbrella of Discipleship. And we have been bringing you this discipleship series focusing on the very nature of God. And we have been blessed by this, and we pray that you have been too. And so we just look forward week after week, meeting with you to continue as we walk with one another through Scripture, allowing it to breathe upon us, allowing it to mold us and shape us and renew our minds, that we would look upward and not behind us. Don't miss that. That we would look upward to Him, capital H-I-M, and not look backwards. So the nature of God, as we have expressed or shown in Scripture, is God's agape love. So if you're just tuning in with us for the first time, we encourage you to go back on the broadcast and revisit or visit some of the prior teaching lessons so that you can come up current to where we are today. Minister Harold has been showing us how love, God's love, has covered us, carried us, comforted us, shaped us, molds us, and He continues to lead us forward. So we know that God's nature is love. But we have that same love within us, those who are born again believers, by way of the Holy Spirit. Now, if this is new sounding to you, my brother, my sister, then we encourage you again to go back and listen to previous broadcasts concerning this teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship, but to hold on today, because we give listeners an opportunity to give their life to Christ. And so it will all make sense to you as we continue to walk hand in hand with you, in addition to the Scriptures breathing, saturating, purifying you as we continue to move forward. So when you've accepted Jesus by faith and saved by God's amazing grace, is when the Holy Spirit instantly enters into the heart and resides. God Himself fills you with Himself. Isn't that amazing? Your new nature is filled with the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, some gentleness, and self-control. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And this comes from Galatians 5, verses 22 and verse 25. So all of this has been a reason why we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, because God wants us to exemplify Him and exercise His love toward others. So Minister Harold and I, we are going to continue in this wonderful teaching series, The Very Nature of God. Minister Harold, if you want to bring us right on into our message.
Rejoice evermore. Pray
without ceasing in all things. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. And we say hello again, everybody. And we welcome you. Release the blessings of God upon you. As you know, I'm Brother Harold Copeland. And along with our host, Minister Kenita Smith, we are together in studio again. We'd like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio broadcast. Always want you to know that it is an honor to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you, and we thank God for your life. But most importantly, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. And every time you open your heart to receive the truth of the Word of God, by the power of God's Spirit, He is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit into your heart that will release His divine plan for your life, and you too shall stand and fulfill God's destiny for your life. As was said earlier, we're still on the series under the umbrella of discipleship, and today we will be discussing the topic, the true nature of God, the very nature of God. And with no further ado, we are going to dive right into the teaching. And as you know, we always like to start out by reading our lunch pad scripture. And our lunch pad scripture comes for the series, comes out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. And we start with verse 16 and we end with verse 20.
Matthew 28, starting at verse 16. When the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen.
Amen. And our foundational scripture for our topic today, the true nature of God, will come out of the book of Ephesians. It's the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. Ephesians, chapter number 3, started with verse 16 and ended with verse 21.
That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could think, ask, or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. The true nature of God, the very nature of God, our Lord and our Savior, we have shown through Scripture that our God is love, doesn't have love. He doesn't carry love. He's not capable of loving. His very essence, his very nature is an agape love, an unconditional, meaning that he loves the unlovable, like me, and maybe some of you. And he loves us in spite of us, in spite of our doing, because his love is not based on our performance or our doing. His love is based on what Jesus Christ has done for us. In the scripture, they say Jesus took our sins and he gave us his righteousness. And it's because of the righteousness that was given to us that we're saved. By grace, unmerited favor, unmerited, unearned, can't be earned, would never be earned, but just freely given. And God loves us by that righteousness of Christ that he gave us, and not based on our performance and not based on our doing. That's the very nature of God, and we have established that through Scripture. And as I said earlier, if you didn't hear it, it's all on the podcast. Go back to the podcast and catch up so we can walk this thing out together. Now, what we was doing in the last teaching, and what we're going to continue in this teaching, is we allow the scriptures to speak to us. And we really didn't teach, but we just allowed the scripture to speak, the word of God to speak. And we wrote the scripture down so that we ourselves, in our quiet time and study time, can just meditate. Somebody said meditate. That we can just meditate on what the word of God is speaking to us. And in that speaking, we allow the scriptures to model. And we started out in the old covenant. And we're coming up against the teaching in this new covenant age that is trying to describe God, get us to relate to God in his old covenant ways. And through that old covenant ways, we don't see the love of God. And that was explained through scripture because there's a problem, a big three-letter word in the old covenant that hadn't been dealt with, so God had to deal with it himself. And that word, that small word but big, is sin. And God couldn't relate to man in the old covenant like he relate to man in the new covenant, because in the old covenant, sin wasn't taken care of. So God took care of sin himself. And as we spoke last week, God dealt harshly with sin. And he had to, because he's a holy God, and sin cannot come into his presence. And we showed how Ahab and Jezebel, they modeled the old covenant relationship and how God dealt with sin harshly under that covenant. And they modeled it out for us. And we saw how they was the two of the easy, wicked people in the history of the world. And knowingly, two of the most wicked kings that Israel had. And they sinned against our God on a regular basis. And God dealt with their sin very harshly. We saw how Ahab died. And we're going to start right here and show what happened to Jezebel. And we will use one more model to show you the harshness of how God dealt with sin, because there was no Lord and Savior to take care of sin. So God had to deal with sin itself. So Jahab sent some people out to bury Jezebel. But all that was left of Jezebel was her head, her hands, and feet. The rest of her had been eaten by dogs. That's harsh. And we want to read that in scripture. We want to go to 2 Kings, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 9, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 9. And we want to start with verse 30 and read through verse 37. 2 Kings 9, 30 through 37.
2 Kings 9, starting at verse 30, and it reads this way. Now, when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head. And looking through a window, as Jehu entered at the gate, she said, "Is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master?" And he looked up at the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" So two or three eunuchs looked out at him. Then he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood splattered on the wall and on the horses. And he trampled her underfoot. And when he had gone in, he ate and drank. Then he said, "Go now. See to this accused woman, or accursed woman. See to this accursed woman and bury her. For she was a king's daughter." So they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore, they came back and told him, and he said, "This is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, on the plot of ground at Jezreel, dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel." Verse 37, "And the corpse of Jezebel shall be as refuse on the surface of the field. In the plot at Jezreel, so that they shall not say, here lies Jezebel.
Amen. Now, Elijah, awesome prophecy came pass exactly as God has commanded him to say it. And it is harsh treatment. And I'm not saying that God did not deal with sin and with people harshly in the old covenant. But we describe the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. And we said the difference is not just a blank page between Malachi, the last book of the old covenant, and Matthew, the first book of the new covenant. But there's a Lord and a Savior and a Master that stand between Malachi and Matthew. And because of his presence, there's a great difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. Before we let the new covenant model by scripture how God related to them, we're going to show the consistency of the harshness that God used to judge sin and to judge mankind in the old covenant. Jahab and Jezebel had sinned against God to such a degree that the mighty man of God, Elisha, had declared the terrible way, and I agree, it's a terrible way their lives would end. Now here comes their son, Ahaziah. Ahab and Jezebel's son, he knew about the prophecy of the death, the terrible death, and he knew that they were fulfilled accurately. But he still did not like Elijah any more than his parents had. Ahaziah was following right in the footsteps of his parents. He wasn't seeking the one true God. He was seeking after pagan gods. And he got sick. When he got sick, instead of seeking the God of Israel, Jehovah God, instead of inquiring of the God of Israel, Jehovah God, to receive his healing, Ahaziah sent messengers to Beelzebub. Beelzebub was the wicked god of Ekron. And according to 2 Kings, chapter 1, verses 3 to 8, when Ahaziah's messengers were on their way to acquire of that wicked god, of that false god, of that Beelzebub god, the prophet Elijah met him. And Elijah began to speak to the messengers. Let us read 2 Kings. The 2 Kings, chapter 1, verses 3 through 8.
Second Kings 1, verse 3.
But the angel of the Lord, said to Elijah, the Tishbite, "Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say to them, 'Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron?' Therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die." So Elijah departed. And when the messengers returned to him, he said to them, "Why have you come back?" So they said to him, "A man came up to meet us and said to us, 'Go, return to the king who sent you and say to him, thus says the Lord, it is because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die." Verse 7, then he said to them, "What kind of man was it who came up to meet you and told you these words?" So they answered him, "A hairy man wearing a leather belt around his waist." And he said, "It is Elijah the Tishbite."
Amen. And what we're doing is using the old covenant by scripture to model the harsh treatment that God used to judge sin and the wickedness of mankind. And let's keep going. Ahaziah was so wicked that he refused to be denied, and he made a move to go against the man of God, Elisha. Let us read 2 Kings. Second Kings chapter 1, verses 9 and 10.
Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50 men. So he went up to him, and there he was, sitting on the top of a hill. And he spoke to him, "Man of God, the king has said, 'Come down.'" Verse 10. So Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, "If I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50.
Amen, amen. And let's focus on the fire coming down from heaven. And we are modeling the harsh treatment God had to deal with sin and the wickedness of mankind. And I'm really not teaching them. We're just letting the scripture speak to them. And the wickedness of Ahaziah was still so wicked that he wouldn't back down. And he proceeded to go forth and to defy the things of God and to defy the prophet of God. So he made another move. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 11 and 12.
Then he sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50 men. And he answered and said to him, "Man of God, thus has the king said, come down quickly." So Elijah answered and said to them, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50.
Harsh treatment. That's 102 men. And somebody may say, well, Satan must have done that. But it says clearly, clearly in verse 12, that it was the fire of God that came down from heaven. Elijah had access to the power of God to such a degree that he could consume people with fire. He can kill people with the power of God and the anointing of God. And we agree that it was harsh treatment in this old covenant. And we see how God defended his prophet, as I paraphrase the rest. God, in defense of Elijah, he released fire from heaven and killed 102 men that don't look like the God of love, that don't look like the God of agape, the unconditional love. And then he sent a third captain and his 50 men. But this captain was a God-fearing man. And he basically said, "Elijah, have mercy on me. I am doing what the king told me to do." And God intervened and told Elijah to go down with him to Ahaziah, the king. And we see God protected Elijah. And he wasn't touched by any of the king's men. He never had to call down fire again from heaven to strike anybody else. And that's the way God dealt with sin harshly in the old covenant. And we wanted the old covenant to model the truth of this old covenant relationship with God and men without a savior. But as we go on, we got to let the new covenant model how God dealt with sin and man. And it's totally different than the old covenant. Now, you may be like me. We're in the new covenant, but there have been preachers around us and people around us and teachers around us teaching the God of the old covenant. Let me tell you, I was scared of the God of the old covenant. Because I know I was guilty. And I know I was sinful. I know that I was serving darkness, and darkness was in me. And what I read about in this God of the old covenant, I didn't want to go to him because he may have called down fire upon me. So I just stood in the middle, not sure of what to do. But I know one thing I couldn't do was go into this the presence of this God. And as we talked earlier, his nature is agape love. And next week we're going to model that agape love. But we have stated it and we have proved and shown through Scripture that he's not that harsh a God we just read about in the Old Covenant. In the New Covenant, he's the unconditional love. And I feel by the Spirit of God that the Spirit of God is drawing somebody in to receive this love, because his love is constant and it's never failing. It is always available for a heart that's ready to receive. And at this moment of as a ministry of salvation, I'm going to stop, I'm going to drop, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to turn the microphone over to Minister Smith, and I'm going to allow her to take us to the cross that we can see the loving heart of the loving Father. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell you, the love of God demonstrated even in the midst of the sin that took place in the Old Testament, his love was still there. And as Minister Harold indicated, it may not have looked as though it was, and it may not have felt like it was, but it was. Because God is love. And love can be painful, but it's worth it. So when we see God as love and not a monster of pain, or not fearful in the sense of a monster, if there's a such thing, but we see him as a gentle lamb, loving, faithful, gentle, patient, joy, kind, and self-controlled God. We see a God that is a jealous God. Jealous in the sense of we only glorify him and him alone. Not gods of Beelzebub of yesterday, gods of material things and the world system of today, and gods of whatever knowledge or what is created by man of tomorrow. These are not what God wants us as a New Testament church to bow down to, literally, mentally, or verbally. He is a jealous God. And when we come to know him, know that we know that we know him with fullness of heart, wholeheartedly, not half-hearted, straddling the fence or holding on tight to our material gods, whether it be money, whether it be lust, sex, pornography, whether it be a home, or even a family member. That may be harsh sounding to you, but it is not to God. Scripture tells us that we are to love him first with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Him and him alone we are to love more than our spouse, more than our children. How can I do that? When you follow God wholeheartedly, you will know how to do that. by way of the Holy Spirit living inside of you, by way of God's word purifying you from the inside out, just showering you, speaking to you with his still, small voice, discipling you by way of small groups, and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. You will know how to love God more than you love yourself. Some things we don't understand. Some things we can't fathom in our finite minds. But God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. We read that scripture in Matthew every time we begin this broadcast, the very nature of God. That's our foundational scripture, Matthew 28:16-20. So Brother Harold and I, when we come to this point in the broadcast, we take this serious, just as the word of God. As we read through the scriptures, I love the way Minister Copeland said that it's not his words. It is the very word of God, truth concerning a God who loves you. And this is what Mission from the Heart is about. Exposing the word, expounding on the word of God as we do week after week, and extending the gospel, Jesus himself, to you, that you would give your heart to him. So this is the point where we come together, brothers and sisters who are listening to the broadcast, who are saved, that you know that you are. You know without a shadow of a doubt, we partner together with you, undergirding those who may not know him. So this is a tender moment, an intimate time for us to come together, pray with them a prayer of salvation. Now, for those of you who are listening and you're just not sure whether you will ascend to heaven, then it is time for us to get that right with you. So we encourage you, my brother and my sister, to bow your head or fall on your knees, whatever you are comfortable with at this time. We cannot assume that every listener to this broadcast is saved, but it is our hope and our prayer that this ministry pierces through to your heart, that it would reach you so intimately that you would fall on your knees, surrender your life with hands extended to heaven, and that you would lay all of your cares at the feet of Jesus. This is what a loving God allows us to do. Remember, in the Old Testament, as Minister Harold exposed to us, he cannot stand sin. He will not allow sin to come close to him. He made that plain to Moses, and he made it plain to Jezebel, Ahab, and even their son. And it is still plain. It has not changed, but he gave us a way, and that way is Jesus Christ. The very way that he died on the cross to redeem us.
that we would have a right to the tree of life, Jesus being our tree of life. His blood bled. His death, he died. He was buried and he resurrected. He is our way. He is our truth. And he is our life. So I encourage you to take care of business today. Don't procrastinate. Don't double-mind yourself in thinking, I'll take care of it next week when I listen to the broadcast. No. Or maybe tomorrow I can revisit the broadcast and do it then. No. Jesus dealt with that when he was calling disciples to follow him. This is the call. This is the megaphone that Jesus is using to call you to him. No more putting off for tomorrow, because we know in today's times, tomorrow is not promised to us. But today, do it today. Obedience to God is far better, far better. So let's go to the feet of Jesus in prayer. And my brothers and sisters who partner with us in doing so, we encourage you, lift up that wayward child. Lift up that husband or that wife that remains in their flesh. Lift up that coworker that you've been praying for, or the man or the woman on the street. Lift him up as we pray with those who are listening to this broadcast. So if you will, prepare your heart, humble yourself before God, your heart to be whole, not half-hearted, and let's go to him in prayer. Now, it's not me, but it's you surrendering it all to him the best you know how. And we pray with you. So we're going to go right into prayer as you prepare to give your heart to him. So my brothers and sisters, let's pray. Lord, here I am. Lord, I come to you in the most humble way I know how. I know no other way. I've heard over the years of my life, Lord, that you created me in your image. You spoke this to me in so many different ways, and I refuse to believe you. Lord, I come to you now with thanksgiving in my heart because you have been patient with me. I'm so not deserving of your love, of your salvation, but I thank you, Lord God, that you loved me more than I loved myself. Lord, I thank you for your blessing, and I thank you for giving me another chance. For I know I should have been dead and gone a long time ago. In my lifestyle of wickedness and worldliness and cutting close corners, when I know it was only you protecting me, preserving me, holding me in your hand to bring me where I am today. surrendering my life to you. Lord, thank you. I believe by faith that you saved me by your amazing grace and what Jesus has done on the cross for my sin, that I can come to you in prayer any day, any time of the hour, as long as I want to. Thank you, Lord, for your tenderness. Thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty. Thank you, Lord, for your love unconditionally toward me. Lord, I bless you. I thank you. I love you. And I believe that you are my God, that Jesus made the way for me through his death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Glory, glory, glory to God. My brother and my sister, we are excited for you. The angels rejoice because of you. You have given your life to Christ. You surrendered your heart to him and him alone. And this is the most beautiful step you could have made for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. This is the day that God has set aside for you. Pray that you continue to serve him and glorify him and learn more about him, that you not fall off by the wayside. Yes, the devil, Satan is mad. He is upset, but God is your protector. He is your shepherd. He is your way maker. And he fights every one of your battles. If you let him, just walk in peace and joy of him through your new nature. The Holy Spirit now resides in your heart. Praise the Lord. Now, we encourage you, my brother, my sister, to seek out a Bible teaching church in your community, that you would be baptized by submersion of water. And when you rise, praise ye the Lord. You are letting the world know that you are now a Christ follower. Hallelujah. That you would also seek out a small group Bible study within that church or a Sunday school class, and continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio. We need all the discipleship we can get in today's times because of so many distractions, so many temptations. But God, he is our master. He is our king. And he has redeemed us. So we encourage you to continue in your growth spiritually so that you can grow and go and lead others into the ark of salvation. So Brother Harold and I will continue the broadcast as it will continue to grow you and lead you. So keep in mind that every day is a joyful day, but always remember that God is the head of your life. Brother Harold?
Praise God.
We have a few more minutes, Brother Harold, to say a few words if you'd like.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Are we in there? Yes. We just want to welcome everyone that came into the family of God. We want you to know that we love you and that you have had an encounter with love himself. And we're going to transition. We're getting ready to transition from the old covenant, and we're going to transition into the new covenant, which reveals the Father putting on the earth suit, love himself putting on the earth suit, and coming down as a baby that he told, the angel told his mother to name him Jesus. And he is the difference between the old and the new covenant. We will see the Father heart of love. We will see an abundance of love. We will prepare and operate in a table that's prepared for us, a love feast. We will see overflow encounters with him. And we will be loved by him in spite of who we are, and see that we don't have to perform for this love. It's by grace and mercy and through his Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you. Looking forward to being with you next week. God bless you. Minister Smith.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's truly a blessing, my brothers and sisters, to just be God's workmanship and be used by him to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a delight for us to do this, and we just encourage you to do the same. This is what the ministry is about, Mission from the Heart, that you would continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what we do. So always remember that the grass withers and the flowers, they fade from season to season. But the word of God, the very word of God that is alive, it breathes, it transforms, it molds, it convicts, and it holds us in the very hands of God. We'll never leave. Don't miss that. The very word of God will be here forever and ever. We bless you, Lord God, and thank you for our lesson today. And for those who have given their life to Christ today, as we continue to keep on keeping on with Mission from the Heart Radio. God bless you, my brothers and sisters, and thank you for staying faithful to the broadcast, and most of all, your faithfulness to the one true God, Yahweh. God bless you.